It's time to get all set for Sunday, a podcast for busy and distracted Catholics with your hosts, Scott Williams and Jeff Traylor.
When I hear the coffee brewing, I think, what the heck we doing? Because I got barely any sleep last night. As the diaper bag I pack with Hot Wheels dollies and some snacks, I say a prayer there'll be a seat in the crime room this time. It's alright, cause I'm all set for Sunday. It's alright, cause I'm all set for. It's alright, cause I'm all set for. It's alright, cause I'm all set for Sunday.
Welcome to All Set for Sunday, a podcast for busy and distracted Catholics to be a little more prepared for Sunday Mass. And I think I'm supposed to say now a podcast by Catholic Concepts.
Yes.
Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. Julian, let us know if we did that wrong. My name is Scott Williams. My co-host is Jeff Traylor. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Scott.
How's it going?
It's going great. We got a full house today.
We do. We got four seats.
Four seats, four mics, four sets of headphones.
Yep. Welcome back, Father McCarthy.
It's good to be back.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
That's good to hear.
I hope we overcome the technical difficulties that engaged us in our last podcast.
Yeah.
I forgot about it.
Was that the last time we...
No one actually knows what I look like. This is the first time.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone.
No cameras.
Oh, goodness. All right. And we have
a special guest host.
Special guest.
So yeah. Charlie's joining us today. Charlie, say hello.
Hi, my name is Charlie. I'm 15 years old. I'm a freshman at Providence Easter Rite. I come here like once every week to work.
Yeah, so Providence High School here in Indianapolis is part of the Cristo Rey Network. And part of the model of the Cristo Rey High School Network is they work with corporate work study companies mm-hmm. who employ their students one day a week. So Charlie's been with us every Thursday for the whole school year this year. We have another student, Ezekiel, who's here with us on Wednesdays. But we have recently had our students start shadowing and spending days with our leadership team. Charlie got the unfortunate gift of shadowing me today, and I said, you ever been on a podcast? Because you're gonna be. And so Charlie joined us today. He's got some active roles. He did some prep work. He's all set and ready to go. So yeah.
All
everyone's
right.
Also meeting Charlie for the first time on the podcast along with you, Father.
Well, I welcome Charlie.
Yeah. And Father McCarthy, how is a Holy Rosary parish in Indianapolis?
Thriving as ever.
Yeah.
What's it called? Is it a personal parish?
It's a personal parish.
Personal parish. What? Tell me what that means.
So most parishes are geographic boundaries. It's a geographic designation.
Yep.
So the Catholic Church, in its desire to make sure that all souls are saved, divides mm-hmm. the entire globe into regions and geographic regions. And so they have dioceses, sometimes apostolic administrations, which are like junior dioceses. And then within those dioceses or apostolic administrations, they have parishes. So every spot on earth is covered by a parish. So you belong to
even
a parish.
The sea.
You belong, even the sea.
And the moon.
The moon belongs to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people know that, but it belongs to Orlando.
We've talked about it a lot on this podcast.
Did we talk about the last time we were on here?
If you would go to the moon and celebrate Mass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to get the bishop's permission. But...
the Bishop of Orlando.
Orlando.
Yeah.
So that's how we divide everything up. There are also parishes that are established to serve particular groups. So mm-hmm. when Italian immigrants started coming over to the U.S., they were being proselytized and pulled away from the Catholic faith. So it's Bishop Chittard sent Monsignor Ryan over to Italy, from what I understand, to recruit a priest to come to evangelize / support, be a pastor to the Italian-speaking population in Indianapolis. And so they established a parish for Italian-speaking immigrants.
Okay.
At the time, not Italians, because the church did not recognize Italy because they were at war with Italy.
Oh, so,
look at that. Yeah. Italian-speaking.
So Italian-speaking immigrants, not technically Italians.
Huh.
Because we didn't recognize Italy as a nation.
And that is Holy Rosary.
That is Holy Rosary. And so then later on, our mission was expanded beyond that, but it's for individual persons in relationship to a person of the pastor. So you're a parishioner at Holy Rosary if I say you're a parishioner, and you're not a parishioner if I say you're not a parishioner. It's all the power. Jeff is not a parishioner. I know that won't surprise anyone.
It has been declared. That's funny. That reminds me of early on.
Yeah. Jeff's wife is lovely. She'd be welcome to join the parish.
That's it. No, early on in our friendship, Father McCarthy would regularly remind me that he could bind and loose my sins. And when I would make a smart mouth comment to him, he would go, bound.
People forget about the bound option, but that but is the first one our Lord presents.
Yes.
He says bound first. Well, since you bind on earth, abound in heaven, used on earth, or loose in heaven. It's binding might be underused, underutilized.
Speaking of additional responsibilities and duties, you just recently, it was announced that you're taking on a new role in the Archdiocese come July, correct?
Come May 31st.
May 31st.
May 31st.
What, it, can you tell us about that?
I will be the Director of Spiritual Formation and Spiritual Director for the Bishop Simon Rutte College Seminary.
Wonderful. And that will be, you'll serve in that role, not just for seminarians from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, but all seminarians who are in formation at
Rutte, right? Seminary, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think that's really great. I think you'll be very, very good at that. And obviously young men who are in formation or in seminary need just, they just need good spiritual formation and mentors and people to look up to. And yeah. I think you're going to be great at that. And
thank
that will probably be the end of kind things I say to you.
But well, I mean,
just, but it's unrecorded or it's recorded now. So
it is recorded.
Yeah.
I'll remind you someday.
I know you will.
All right, Father Christian, you can start listening now. On to the 2 minute drill.
All right. It is Ascension Sunday.
Hey.
Which is very exciting. And so for the Feast of the Ascension, we have.
Can I just make a little caveat?
I can't wait.
I respect the fact that it is Ascension Sunday, but it is actually should be Ascension Thursday. That would be today, actually, when we're recording this. Would be
yeah.
Ascension Thursday. So,
but it's not.
It's not, but you can't do the traditional novena. So the original novena, the idea of praying 9 days mm-hmm. for an intention, comes from the time between Ascension Thursday and the Pentecost, the disciples waiting 9 days
yes.
for their prayers to be answered and the Lord to send the Spirit down upon them. So I think it's also good to give a little bow of the head to the traditional date. In fact,
you can do the novena, it just ends early. Just got 3 days.
Just before Pentecost.
Just got a few days.
It's a disappointing. It ends and the Holy Spirit doesn't come.
Sorry, your novena is disappointing.
No, it ends
and the Holy Spirit doesn't come.
It actually ends late. Yeah. It actually ends late if you start on Ascension Sunday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
And then like,
or a shortened novena, a novena of, which is by definition 9 days.
Or unless it's a 54-day novena, then what the hell?
Game on.
Game on.
So, I like to call it Ascension Thursday Sunday.
Ascension Thursday Sunday. All right. It's Ascension Thursday Sunday.
Dumb question. Moment of 54-day novenas. Get that out.
All right.
I'm in the middle of one, actually.
This is perfect. Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 1, 1 to 11. So Acts starts with Jesus giving his final instructions to the disciples. He goes up, before he goes up to heaven, he tells them that soon the Holy Spirit will be coming to them to help them spread the good news everywhere. Then as they're watching him go, he disappears into the clouds. Two angels show up. They tell the disciples to stop staring. Hurry up, get moving. You got some work to do. Our second reading, there are two options for the second reading. I only prepped for the first one. Assuredly, that means that Father will be preaching on the second one. But our first option for the second readings is Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 23. So in here, oh, responsorial psalm. I skipped it.
Oh, yeah.
God, where are you at?
Hey, don't forget about that responsorial psalm.
Come on, Charlie. You have one job. The responsorial psalm this week, God mounts his throne to shout.
Was Charlie actually in charge of the responsorial
psalm? No.
Oh, okay.
God mounts his throne to shouts of joy.
A man without falsely accusing people, Charlie, just so you know.
It's bound.
Bound. The responsorial, luckily there's not one for interrupting people. For you.
Amen.
Responsorial psalm this week is, God mounts his throne to shouts of joy, a blare of trumpets for the Lord. I'm going to call it a mumbler. That's mm-hmm. that's pretty long. So, like, we're probably at least into the third response before people actually get all those words out before they forget what they were if they're not reading their book. Or
Well, Alleluia.
Or the Alleluia.
Equally good option.
Equally good option. And everyone always remembers Alleluia as the response. Just saying. All right. Second reading then. Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 23. So Paul's prayer for the Ephesians here is him asking God to give them just a big old dose of wisdom and insight. Fill these people with wisdom and insight. He wants them to really understand what it means to follow Jesus and how amazing God's power is. And he reminds them that Jesus is in charge of everything, including the church, and encourages them to live boldly in the light of that truth. If you know that that's the case, live boldly. Know that he's in charge. Know that we're following him. Have that wisdom and guidance. And it's time for the gospel. And this actually is Charlie's job today. He knows.
All right, prepared Charlie.
For it. So Charlie's going to be reading the gospel.
So, this gospel is from Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 20. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs.
All right. Nice work, Charlie. Great and job. Jeff.
All right.
Father, did Jeff get anything wrong in his... I can't wait for this.
I mean, he did skip an option for the reading, but it's okay. I mean, zeal for the Lord and his word is important, but it'll grow eventually in you, Jeff.
Thank you.
I'm optimistic. I'm trying to be supportive and affirming, Jeff.
That's kind of you.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yes. Father, what are you preaching about this weekend? What do you got in the old homily notebook?
Yeah, so... I'm probably going to preach on a theological principle. It's a very Catholic concept.
Like hey, that? Good work.
Heyo.
A very Catholic concept called exitus reditus.
go on.
I'm loving this because you're going to explain it. It's going to make total sense, but it's also like so on brand. So for you to be like,
so on brand because I got in Catholic concept into it, or
no? Because you brought Latin right into the explanation.
Here. Oh, well, I mean. So there's a theologian back in the post-Merovingian days. So time of Charlemagne.
Yeah.
The 90s?
900s. I think, yeah, 900s would have been right. Someone will correct me. They'll fact check me and tell me I was wrong. So you can make that comment.
Put it in the comments.
Yeah. John Scotus, or John Eugena Scotus, to make... the difference between John Duns Scotus. And he was a Scotus means usually Irish, actually. It sounds like Scotch, but in Latin, Scotus means Irish or Scotland. And Ireland was the large Scottish island. And then the north of England was the small area of Scotland. So
not the Supreme Court.
No. So not the Supreme Court of the United States. So John Scotus, Eugena, was a Neoplatonist, which means he built on the study of Plato and looking at the philosophy of Plato and then looking at the way
Plato.
Yeah. P-L-A-T-O.
Sort of some people build on the I've study never of heard Plato. Of before.
Yeah.
Plato is also fun.
Yes.
It's
almost as fun as John Scotus reading an Anna.
I mean, it's a basic sculpting medium. I mean,
yeah.
Clay or whatever Plato is actually made of, which I don't know. Does anyone know what Plato was actually?
Charlie? What's Plato made of?
What do they teach you, Providence Pastore?
I just know that doesn't taste good.
It does not taste good. Good. Jeff might have been able to tell us that as well from his early days. Do you eat paste?
Just stop it.
I'm sorry, he did.
Can you talk about John Scotus meaning again now?
So, Eugena.
Why?
Sure.
So he looked at this presentation of Plato's understanding how God emanates into the world and emanates himself into the world in creation, And then he looked at the scripture and the idea of I am the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, mm-hmm. and adopted the kind of a Platonic understanding of how God relates to the world, that God gives forth himself to the world, and as the source of all things, he creates all things in the world, and then all things, because they come from God, have a natural end back in God. So exitus is to go forth or to proceed, and raditus is to return. And so that in Christianity, there is this principle that God sends forth his love to invite the world and creation into a relationship with him. And if the world is finding itself, finding where it's supposed to be, it's sending itself, giving itself, loving God back in return. And so then you get to the ascension and you have this understanding that God sent forth his son into the world, but as a revelation of his love, but the son needs to return to the father because that's the nature of God, this gift of self and the return of the gift of self. But then that's going to create this, and Christ says this, right? It is better for you that I go to the Father so that I can send you a helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. So God's going to send the Holy Spirit down upon us to incorporate us into that divine life. And then we then have a vocation to return to God, to give ourselves back to God, because we, as Christians, have the Holy Spirit. So this idea that God is sending forth his love into the world in the form of the Son, and the Son is going back to make a place for us and sending us to incorporate us into the love of God by the Spirit, and that we now have a vocation, a call, a home back in heaven. So in the ascension, we see that playing out where God is not actually abandoning us. It's not like, see ya, mic dropping out of here. But rather it's a, hey, I'm going forth to return to show you where you're supposed to go. Then I'm going to give you the tools, specifically the person who's going to help you return back, which is the Holy Spirit.
Which is similar to what Paul is
correct
telling the Ephesians, yeah. Right? Like he's saying to them, don't be sad that he's going to be emboldened by the fact that like he's led you there and that you have this place in heaven.
Yeah.
Look at that. I got something right.
You did.
Good job.
Well done.
So, okay. That makes sense.
Good.
How, if I'm taking my kids to mass, my, you know, teenage girls who.
Is this an actual if question, or you mean when you take your.
When.
Some of them might drive themselves, they say.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, sometimes Isabel works. She works at a donut place, pretty busy. So she's been having to go to Anna Donuts. Oh. Very good. You should go visit her. She would be happy to see you.
Donde está? Where is that?
County Line and 135.
Okay.
Yeah.
Charlie understood.
Yes, he did. That's true. I almost turned. Yeah, but.
Are they open like all day? Can I go there after now and
yeah.
go get a donut?
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
She wouldn't be working.
It's kind of the Feast of the Ascension, so.
It kind of is the Feast of the Ascension.
So
yeah.
A good day to get a donut.
Yeah, very good. If they have their buttermilk donuts, I would highly recommend those.
County Line and 135?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Used to be a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Bank?
No.
No, it was a, I don't know.
It's been vacant for a long time.
Regions, maybe.
But they had a huge miss by not using the vacuum tube to deliver the donuts.
I know that
on
this
the...
is a big focus of Scott's. He wanted to use the vacuum tube to send donuts out, but they don't do that.
It could be exciting. It feels like a Simpsons scene, actually, if they were doing donuts through the vacuum tube.
They do donuts and boba tea and Thai iced tea. I don't know if you've ever had that, but it's very good. They also do sandwiches and stuff. Like, it's pretty impressive. Pretty good stuff. So anyway, my point being, it gets harder and harder for us to all go to mass together.
You want to totally sidetrack off story, but.
More,
yeah.
Okay.
So there used to
you
be.
You ever listen to the podcast?
There used to be in my neighborhood. I don't actually, but I'm glad other people do. There used to be a donut place in our neighborhood called Gatco, the Great American Donut Company.
Loved it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They closed, sadly. Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I don't know. You'd have to
sound like a veterinary hospital or something.
Veterinary.
It's not a delicious donut place.
Can't buy anything. Do you?
I don't have any pets, so it's not really useful for me as a veterinary hospital. But the donut place was useful and. Occasionally I would go over there and get a donut or two, sometimes maybe more. I like to share. Mm. And one time they had made, by whatever coincidence, they had made extra donuts and had not enough filling or glaze for the donuts. So they were just like the donut, but unglazed. And I came at the very end of the day and they were getting ready to throw them out. I was like, oh, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. what's going on here? And they're like, well, you know, we had a few extra donuts. We didn't have glazing for them. We didn't need them anyways. They wouldn't have sold. I was like, so you're going to throw those out? Like, well, yeah. I was like, so could I have them? And they're like, what for? I was like, well, I got this idea.
I want to distribute them to the homeless. Nope. What was your idea?
No, I did that on other days.
Actually. Okay.
I did do that on other days. I would take extra donuts sometimes down to St. John's for the garden ministry there. I was like, I've always wondered what it would be like to take a donut and turn it into a, without the icing, because they do this with the icing, but turn it into a bun for a hamburger.
Oh.
So then I took the box of donuts and I went down to the, kind of shout out to places.
Yeah.
The Red Lion,
Grog House,
which is down in Fountain Square. And we did a little bargaining, actually. I was surprised. They loved the idea. The cook loved the idea of using the unglazed donut as a bun. So he gave me a free burger in exchange for the extra buns, the extra bun donut things. And he made a bacon cheeseburger on a donut roll. That was outstanding.
This is a true sign that God has a place for us in heaven, because you were able to make that happen.
It was just handed to me in a plate. I mean, I didn't make this happen. I mean, I would have tried to maybe eventually if I had time, but it just walked into my plate. And they were very excited at the Red Lion Grog House. They have open minds there about food. They're delicious food. So a good burger, good food. So, yeah.
Is it a staple menu item now?
No, it is not. Whoever was the cook there, I don't think is any longer the cook there, or whoever traded. Maybe they are. If you're looking at this podcast saying, I am still there, and Father, bring back more blank donuts, maybe I can get a pan of donut and cut a deal with for unglazed donuts, and we could start a little something. Maybe.
I know some
people. Holy Rosary gets a little cut off the top of every donut burger.
There it is. You can start hustling for the seminary also.
And Brute. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so you're back bringing to my question. Mass.
Part of what I was going to talk about is, like, these days it's harder and harder to get our entire family to the same mass, which, like, is a whole different thing that, like, I struggle with, and, like, we're trying to figure
out. Is that because you don't fit in the pew with them anymore?
You're so mean. And no, it's not that.
Sorry, that was uncalled for.
That was uncalled for.
But you made a lot of comments about my girth in the past, so.
Tell me more about the multiple donuts. Anyway, I don't have to make comments when you're like, I made a cheeseburger out of a donut. Anyway,
so delicious.
My point being, like, I've been trying to be intentional, though, because we end up going different directions about talking about what are the scriptures about, what are the readings about.
That's a good thing to do.
Before Mass, before we head in. So, like, what's the takeaway I tell my teenage daughters here of, like, this, focus on these things when you're listening to the gospel, when you're listening to the readings, when you're listening to the homily this week, like, where should their focus beyond just listening to what's being said? What should they be listening for in this message that you're talking about?
I would tell them to pay attention to where Christ goes, and then pay attention to what the angels tell us, which is that he's going to descend down again, because he does. Actually, and we experience it at the Mass on the altar, where he becomes present to us again. By the Holy Spirit, he transforms the bread and wine to his body, blood, soul, and divinity, and allows us to be close and intimate to him so that we can be one with him and also fulfill that vocation in heaven. So if you're looking up, you immediately need to look to where the Holy Spirit is now about to come, which is on that altar to make something real happen.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know about anything else.
Me either.
That was a lot.
Yeah. And I enjoyed our little side path there.
Yeah.
Our side journey.
I can't think about anything else other than donut cheeseburgers right now.
I know you can't. I know you're like,
maybe a little bit of
Scott, those are the two things Scott loves most in life other than his family.
Yeah. Is there a good burger place in this general vicinity?
No. Not really. I mean, no.
Okay.
Not that I can think
of. I'm not having a burger for lunch then, I guess.
No.
Not really.
Nothing that I can, like, say, this is where you need to go to get a burger.
Right.
Yeah.
I would drive to Brew Burger.
Okay.
Charlie, you got any questions?
No.
Nope.
But all right. Homily? No.
Yeah.
All right. Dumb question time.
Dumb question time.
All right. Father, you told us about your new role as Director of Spiritual Formation. Mm-hmm. Is that it? But what you failed to mention is you're also moving into the frat house, right?
Living at the seminary?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a frat house. I mean, it's a...
I know, it's like dedicated, it's the coolest frat house
I've dedicated ever heard. To pursuing the Lord.
Yeah. No, it's the best idea ever. I want to know, what are you excited about in the idea of moving into the seminary, and what are you most nervous about in the idea of moving into the seminary with a bunch of 18 to 21 year olds?
Yeah. I don't think I'm nervous about anything, because we have seminarians living at the parish all the time. So I'm used to during the summer having three or four seminarians at the mm-hmm. parish. So I just am abundantly aware that young men have different standards of, yeah, just different standards. We'll just leave it there.
Hygiene.
No, I think they have good hygiene. I hope they have good hygiene. I mean, that's really not part of spiritual formation, but it could quickly be incorporated if they don't. Director of Spiritual Formations and Hygiene.
Title skip it longer for this brief.
But no, I mean, just, you know, their ability to observe the world around them and to see what needs to be done sometimes is not quite developed. You know, the classic teenagers leaving dishes out, or... Mm-hmm. You tell them to go clean something up and they just clean everything up. And then there's just like one cup or glass on the table. You're like, why didn't you get that? Oh, I didn't see that. I've noticed that occurs a lot.
It very much, I can attest
to that with your teenagers.
Yes. Just last night, I just had that same discussion.
Yeah. I can give a little side story. Parents will be amused by this. Like the things that teenagers do, maybe you don't do this, Charlie. I don't even know if you're a teenager. You look like a teenager, Charlie. Are you a teenager?
He's 15. Yeah. He introduced himself as 15. Thanks for
listening. I don't remember these things always. I'm focusing on Jesus. So. Jeff doesn't even believe that.
Because a mere minutes ago, you took a pot shot about me not fitting in a pew with my family.
I'm gonna drink some coffee just for you, Jeff.
Thanks.
Delicious. So just maybe a couple weeks ago, I go to the refrigerator, making a recipe, need some eggs. There are three cartons of eggs in the refrigerator.
How many eggs?
There were four eggs total in three cartons. Four eggs total in three cartons.
This is real life experience. Yeah, I know.
I mean, I know this reality. And I have to admit, there was a moment of a little bit of anger and maybe a touch of white hot rage at the fact that I had actually gone to the store that day and looked in the refrigerator to make sure we had eggs before I went to the store, because I would have picked up more eggs because eggs are nice to have on hand. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there's three cartons of eggs. And I even thought to my head, like, oh, yeah, even if they've gotten into two, there's surely at least a dozen eggs left. But no, there were four eggs left. So four in three boxes. Also taking up a lot of room in the refrigerator.
Impressive.
This Father Dufresne. Seems like he'd be a big protein egg guy.
Oh, Father Dufresne would not have done this. He would have known better. He would have known better. He's beyond the teenage years.
Yes.
Significantly beyond the
teenage years. Yes.
So, those types of things, I'm sure, will be a similar frustration in seminary life. And I'll just grow in patience and hopefully holiness as a result. I'm really looking forward to being able to pray with the young men. I mean, those guys are zealous for the faith and get to pray with them every day. There's some serious talk that they're going to be getting up with me in the morning. At least the propedeutics are going to be getting up with me in the morning to share my holy hour time as part of the new discipline. So, we've been debating about the time that's going to start. If I get my way, it'll probably be 5:15, get them in the chapel.
That's not too bad.
No.
We like to call them the propedudes.
Yeah. So
if you could do
propedudes.
That. Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're watching, maybe a little earlier, maybe 4:45.
Seems about good for prepa dudes.
Yeah, yeah. Any time after 4 o'clock, I figure it's game.
Pre-dudic.
That was close.
Thank you.
Almost made it.
Thank you. Yeah, they don't all land.
It was like one of those hymns where you're looking and you're like, man, come on. They couldn't have come up with a different word than this.
Yeah. That does happen to me a lot. Yeah. I mean, like, there could be some musical lyricism here, but no. Yeah.
You're like, da 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 da. Yeah. There's a couple of hymns that do that really well. I can't remember what they are.
Yeah.
The only song I can think of tonight is that does the similar thing is the Toto's Africa, right? The What is the line everyone laughs about that makes it, they make it fit?
The things we never had.
Is it the Serengeti?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
This is a thrilling podcasting. All right. Charlie, you prepared dumb questions for the podcast. What do you got for us for Father McCarthy? He's got a list. There's five of them on there. This is awesome.
Bring them on. They're probably not dumb questions.
No.
If God sneezes, what do you say?
Yes.
That's an excellent question. I have the birthday one. Let's see. God sneezes, what do you say? Actually, to be honest with you, I think you duck for cover.
I mean, because there's a hurricane coming.
Oh man,
that's one of those, like if a tree falls in the
get down
and nobody's, that's awesome.
God's about to sneeze. Duck.
Yeah, duck.
Put on a helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great start. I'm excited. What else you got, Charlie?
Have you ever accidentally wore your robe backwards?
Like you're
not
passable.
Not that I remember.
Not that nobody.
I have a funny story about that if we have time at the end, so I'll come back to it.
If animals could confess, what do you think they're guilty of?
Probably impatience with human beings.
Yeah.
Also, probably they would be frustrated at human beings treating them humanely, because they deserve to be treated as animals, not as humans.
Yeah,
I like that.
So, I mean, we treat them humanely, but they're animals. So
they don't want to go for a walk in a stroller.
Yeah, they want to be treated as an animal would be want to be treated, like not as a human would want to be treated.
So. I think they'd be angry that they couldn't talk, but then they're trying to confess.
Well, I think you could understand the animals. You could confess because you could, like St. Francis, understand what the animals were saying. Mm-hmm. Like, so.
But he wasn't a priest.
But animals can't sin, so they actually wouldn't have much to confess.
Because they have no souls.
No, they do have souls. They just don't have rational souls.
Rational souls.
Yeah. So they can't, they have no use of reason, so they have no, there's no fault in their actions. Like a wolf that tears apart a sheep isn't guilty of sin.
Wait, animals have souls but not rational souls? Is that what you said?
Correct. At least in a traditional Thomistic philosophical framework.
That was the framework that I was working through.
Yeah, good.
Thomistic, like Thomas Aquinas?
Like
St. Thomas? Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Thomas Aquinas. Did it.
So, yep.
Thank you. All right, Charlie, this is high quality. What else you got?
What is the most unexpected thing you've ever been asked to bless?
Mm. Ooh, this is a great question, Charlie, because priests have a book of blessings, and there are some wild blessings that exist in that book for like brand new yachts. Like there's a standardized blessing for stuff like that. This is a good question.
I've not ever gotten to bless a brand new yacht. You christen yachts anyways. Mm-hmm. But that's, it'd be interesting. What is the most unusual thing I blessed? Or unexpected thing? I don't know. That's a lot of stuff at Holy Rosary.
Yeah. I mean, give a few.
I mean, cars are pretty normal, but then, so in Filipino culture, oftentimes they refer to a blessing as baptism. So probably the most shocking thing I did when I was a young priest, I worked at a parish with a large Filipino population. And then they'd ask me ahead of time if I could bless a car. And so I went out to bless the car. And then all of a sudden the language quickly shifted to Father's here to baptize the car. We don't typically baptize cars. And
just buckets.
I was like, oh, maybe there's just language barrier here, like
the immersion.
Baptism, bless the car. And then they introduced me to the car's godparents.
And this were they also the cars?
Thing. No.
That would have been even better.
I would have been more accepting, actually. Of
the motorcycles.
Yeah. So in Filipino culture, you baptize, and they'd be like, Father, Father, please come and baptize the car. And these are the godparents, Father, Father.
Godparents.
And
that's amazing.
Yeah, and so you have godparents for everything you bless. I mean, later on, I learned like everything that you bless in Filipino culture of any big nature, like a car is an expensive investment. So you just don't baptize it because it's a big investment. You baptizing, you have godparents for it who I guess pray for the car and the salvation of the car's engine, obviously. And it was a thorough baptism, let me tell you. They had the hood up, they had the trunk open, they had the spare tire out,
a white garment laid across it,
everything but, and they wanted everything to get hit with holy water. I mean, it was blessed. So
that's great.
It was beautiful, actually. Beautiful devotion. So, but very, caught me a little off guard. I mean, it was like my first year as a priest. I'm walking out and they're like, car's got everything open, the spare tire's out, and there's two godparents there. I did not expect that. So
that's a good answer.
Could you have just made like a car wash's water holy water and then baptized it that way?
It feels sacrilegious to me.
Yeah.
I mean, in as much as I don't want to go to hell, no, I could not do that.
Okay.
Someone else might bind my sins. That'd be bad.
Yeah. If they remember, they can.
Yeah.
All right, what you got? Last one?
Yeah. What is the most awkward thing that has happened during Mass?
During Mass? Oh, man. So probably the most awkward thing was there was a man who I think struggled a little bit with mental illness and didn't speak English, who was at Mass. And after I preached, he got up into the pulpit and started preaching after me to the congregation.
Is that welcome in your parish?
Generally, it's frowned upon in every parish, I think, for people who struggle with mental illness to get up in the pulpit after the priest and speak in a language no one.
I mean, probably anyone, right? To just get in the pulpit after the priest and preach.
And it was interesting because I'd met and interacted with this man several times before. And so...
What'd you do?
I removed him from the pulpit politely and told him to go sit back down again.
I'm sure you had some supportive people in the congregation.
Everyone in the congregation was kind of spellbound, and there were some people who like were just not sure what was going on. And a couple of people thought I was trying to, really, honestly, a couple of people thought I was trying to suppress the spirit, and he was up there speaking in tongues. I was like, he's not speaking in tongues. Like, I can tell you what that language is, and it's not tongues. It's a particular African dialect, and I understand a few of the words because I'd interacted with so much that I started to actually, and with translators, I understand some of what the words were. That was probably the most awkward, Charlie.
I feel like we have had a conversation on this podcast with a priest who also encountered the same person and told us that, like, you knew, like, that they called you for... There's something about this story is sounding like way more familiar than.
Well, I think the man has made the rounds through more than one church.
Got it.
So it could be.
Yeah, that's a pretty awkward one though.
It is a little awkward, and you want to be kind and loving, but also it's not okay for someone who's, up there. And then of course it's just confusing the parishioners, because there were parishioners like, oh my gosh, he's speaking in tongues. It's like, oh no, no, not tongues.
Was this a Sunday?
This was a Sunday. Yeah, packed Mass. So that was...
Then you pass the collection basket around.
Then you just go on like normal afterwards. That was probably the most awkward. There might be other awkwards. I had a bride pass out on me during a wedding one time, and I caught her. That was not really...
Not all heroes wear capes. Some wear fiddlebacks.
That's true. it's a little awkward.
Were you in a fiddleback?
I was.
Yes.
So that was a little odd too. I mean,
more
awkward for the bride than for me. Like
my superpower has like historically been being able to spot people who are about to pass out in church from across the church, and I've got four or five documented incidents of like moving across two aisles and catching somebody.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know why, but I'm always like, my spidey senses go off. And
we had one of the servers at one of my parishes used to drop all the time, and I got pretty good at seeing when she was ready to drop and catching her.
It happened at NCYC with Scott and I one year out in Long Beach, and I just scooped this kid up and just took off across the...
Then he was known as what'd they call you the rest of the time?
The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, Charlie, you nailed that.
Good work.
Great word.
What he said, God, he sees
that. That's fantastic.
That was a good one.
Yeah, when you can stump Father McCarthy, that's a good one.
All right, Father, Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah,
oh, it's been a joy.
This was a blast.
Yeah, it is.
Do you want to tell us your bonus story about
wearing
your Chaz Bowl backwards?
This might be a little scandalous, but true story.
Make it a bonus episode.
Tune out. Yeah, tune out if you're...
What's the language level here? Like, are we PG-13? Are we PG? Or what type of... Can I make...
Just depends on where I slip, but we have a 15-year-old with us, so...
So PG-14?
Yeah.
I mean, so... If it appears in the Bible, I'm good using the word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
We talk about donkeys around here a lot.
Good. Okay. That'll work. So, I was at a mass, at an ordination mass one time, and
no, it's pronounced ass.
No, mass.
Oh, got it.
Ordination mass. It's a very different thing.
You almost got me there.
Coffee 3 minutes.
Oh man,
I was talking to one of the masters of ceremonies who had been at an ordination mass the week previous to it, and he was sharing with me an event that had happened, which is that if you ever go to one of the Episcopal masses, oftentimes the master of ceremonies will take the bishop's mitre on and off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And on the back of the bishop's mitre, I used to know the name of these things. Why can't I remember them?
There's
a formal name for the tails, but there's tails on, right? So the master of ceremonies at this previous week's ordination mass had put the mitre on backwards.
So it was like a mask hanging across the bishop's face.
Dropped them on the bishop, and he went to right away to change it. And the bishop said, "No, leave it there so everyone can know what an ass you are." So the bishop wore the mitre with it in front of his face.
Looked like bangs just coming down.
Yeah,
just keeps doing this, just brushing it out of their face.
I don't know how long it lasted, but yeah,
just shaking his head.
So way worse than putting on the Chaswell backwards, like
tail flips.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna have to go look up what those are in the back of the mic.
Oh, this is great. Thank you, Father.
All right. Osco, if you're watching, make sure to make a comment about what those are technically called. I know you know.
Let's see the master of ceremonies.
No, Deacon Sam Roscoe.
All right. Thanks, Father.
You're welcome. God bless.
It's all right, cause I'm all set for. It's all right, cause I'm all set for. It's all right, cause I'm all set for Sunday.